So, as Gareth mentioned, Marie McCarroll graced us at Cafe Church back in the spring, and she came to us by way of Rebecca Crummy, one of our youth workers, because both Rebecca and Marie have a connection with Lurk and Elam. And I have to say this, Marie, when you walked into the lounge that night for Cafe Church, and I realized you must have been our guest speaker that night, I was thinking to myself, well, this is going to be interesting. Because one of the challenges that we would have at Cafe Church every now and then is holding the teenagers' attention. They can be quite a rowdy group when they want to be. And so, but Marie, you had those teenagers eaten out of the palm of your hand. So you did. I have never seen the teenagers as captivated and attentive as the night Marie was there with us. And it was all because you were just sharing your wee stories about seeing God move in your life. And the kids were just eating it up and were so moved by the testimonies you had to share that night. So we're so glad that Gareth could invite you to come be with us on a Sunday morning. And so not that you all, you know, are bouncing off the walls normally or inattentive, but just encourage you. You don't want to miss what Marie has to share with us this morning. So let's just pray a blessing on her. Lord, we thank you for Marie, Lord, and for how she has poured out her life in service to you, Lord. Listen, Lord, we thank you for how you have used us.
Well, I better go like a steam engine. First of all, I want to say thank you for all your love, and I never had as many hello, how are you? It was great. And so I want to say thank you very much. And it's the first time I've been in the little church, but I passed by it in a bus going to and from Belfast. And all the churches that I pass, I pray for. So your wee church has been prayed for, but I never thought I'd ever be in it. So it's a real joy and pleasure to be here this morning. Well, I want to say, first of all, that the greatest joy in all the world is knowing God. Not knowing about him, not thinking he's someone way up there, but actually knowing God. And the greatest thrill in life is to find out what God has got for you and then to do it. And the doing is usually a wee bit more difficult, but he gives you the grace and the help and the strength. Now, 64 years ago, I had a meeting with God that absolutely changed my life. Now, if I have to go and tell you 64 years of what happened, you would be here all night, but I'll not do that. If it was in Africa, yes, I could go on and on and on. And then when I stop, somebody else would go on and on and on. But I know I'm not in Africa, and this is going to be a long service, and there's other people coming on. So I'm going to try my very best to be as brief as possible. 64 years ago, I went to a children's meeting conducted in Lurgan. And this particular meeting, I didn't want to go to because I went to church, I went to Sunday school, I went to the children's meeting and all of that kind of thing. But this meeting, these meetings were to last for 2 weeks. I didn't mind going 2 weeks. I've never gone 2 weeks one after the other. But I didn't mind except the first night because I wanted free of that one night. And I said to my mom and dad, now they weren't Christians. They didn't know the Lord Jesus. I prayed for 38 years before they got saved. I was already a missionary in Africa seeing the heathen wrought for God. And my own parents still hadn't come to Christ. But I'm glad of one thing. My parents, even though they weren't saved, made me go to school, and didn't I get? But they made me go to church and Sunday school. And I'm glad of that because it gave me the opportunity from faithful Sunday school teachers of planting the Word of God into my life. Now, the reason why I didn't want to go to that first meeting, it wasn't because of the preaching or anything like that. It was because my favorite high boy was acting in the pictures. You're all dying to know who he was. Roy Rogers, of course. Now you know how old I am. I loved Roy Rogers, and I really wanted to see that film. But my mom said, no, you are going to church. Well, I went, but I said it back because I had a plan. And my plan was to get out of the church service and go down to the picture house. It wasn't far from the church. And then I can see Roy Rogers and run back before the end of the meeting. It didn't work out, especially we got three sisters all watching me. And they knew what I was going to do, and they were pointing at me. They were going to tell on me. So I knew there was no point in doing it. My mother would have killed me. And I just sat there and I thought, well, Roy Rogers, I'm not going to see him. And then suddenly this missionary said, she got up to preach and she said, now, I'm going to speak from John 3:16. Well, if it was mad before, I'm raging now. Because of all the texts in the Bible, it has to be one I know. I thought of all the texts. Couldn't you preach to something I don't know about? I mean, in Northern Ireland, everybody knows John 3:16. It did then anyway. And so I thought, well, this is not going to be a good meeting. Now, you would have said, that girl will never be saved in that meeting. That was the meeting that was saved in. Because for the first time I thought, me, the only sinner in all the world, and Jesus would have died for me. I was separated from everyone. And I just saw God. I saw his love. I saw his son. And for the first time in my life, I said, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me for my sin, and Lord, make me over anew. I mean, me to be anew anyway. And the wonderful thing was, I didn't need anybody to tell me I was saved, because the Lord came, and I was linked to heaven that night, and I've been linked there ever since, and it's great. It's the most wonderful thing in all the world. Now, that's how I was saved. I've got, because I want to give you a wee verse I should have given to you at the beginning, but I was so nervous, I just thought I'd burn off. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Wonder number one, thou art the God that doest wonders in salvation. He saved me. He thoroughly saved me. After the meeting was over, I couldn't wait to get out. But now, a different reason, I forgot all about Roy Rogers. That was another miracle. And so I went running up the street. I couldn't wait to get home to tell my mother and father I was saved. Well, I didn't go to the picture house, but mostly came to meet me coming out of the church. And when they came out and I met them, and I said to them, Mom, Dad, I've just got converted. My father took one look at me and said, you'll never keep that. Well, I didn't have to. The Lord kept me. And you can be kept by just listening to what Jesus says to you and then doing it. Now, the next thing was, I've got a few here, just a few wonders that God did in provision. In those days, I had one pair of shoes. One pair, and I don't go collecting from it because I've got a stack of them now. But in those days, I was already in Bible school. God provided in a wonderful way. I can't tell you all of that. To get into Bible school, that was again miracle, 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 miracle. You can tell me coincidence, but I would rather say God, because it was God. Nobody knew. I made that a policy in my life when I'm in need. Only God and me will know it until after. And it could be years after before I'll tell you the story. But I'll tell it somewhere along the line, unless the Lord says, me see that it's only between you and me. But these ones he allows me to tell. And so on this particular occasion, I looked at my shoes. Well, they were letting in, as we say in Ireland. So you put a bit of cardboard in, you know, that kind. Now, I worked in Soho. My mother and father never knew it. They'd have been open the next boat to get me back to Ireland. But the Lord had shown me that I had a task to do down there, and I would go down to the nightclubs. We'd go down at 8 or 10 o'clock at night, and we'd come home about 7 in the morning. So we were out all night talking to these people, going into these different clubhouses and so on. But I had this one pair of shoes, and I don't believe in faith by hints either. So I looked at them, and I put the cardboard in. Nobody saw the show. But one day I looked at it, you know, Marie, one of these days those uppers are going to give, and you better make sure you've got a pair of shoes wrapped. So I said, Lord, now when the Lord says something to you, really says to you, he cannot, there's things God can't do, you know, he cannot lie. He can't. So he told me he would meet all my need, that included shoes. So I said, now Lord, I need a new pair of shoes. 2 days later, from one country, came a beautiful pair of Clark shoes. And I thought, this is great, God, the very best. So I took them out of the box, and we know it was in, Marie, I hope they fit you. Of course, the Lord needs the size of my feet. And I hope they fit you, but I'm sorry. I don't know where the shoelaces are. Well, well, well. Talk about faith by hints. There'd be four, these four little eyes all at the top with no shoelaces in. And I knew the students were saying, Marie, what happened to your shoelaces? So I said, Lord, where's the shoelaces? I had four other letters, and one felt a bit bulky. So I opened it up, and inside was a pair of shoelaces from another country. And she said, the lady, you see, the Lord uses people. He doesn't send an angel around you. He uses people. And this lady wrote in a letter, Marie, if you don't need them, bin them. But I couldn't get past the counter with the shoelaces, and I felt I had to buy them and send them. Hope they'll do you in some way if they don't. But now here's a wonderful thing. They weren't white, and they weren't black. They were brown. Exact same. Both arrived at the college at the same time. God's timing is always right, and God will always provide. Now, here's one other, and this happened in the land of Rhodesia. I was a missionary there for 24 years in Africa, all over the place preaching. That was my job. But in this particular place, I was doing a mission on my own at the time, so I went down to one of the farms, white farms, to invite the lady to the meeting. When I got there, she said to me, the Lord doesn't care. Oh, I said, but he does. That's why he sent me here, to tell you that he really cares. God loves you. Christ died for you. He really cares for you. He doesn't. Because you see, in Rhodesia, I never saw rain for the first 3 years there. I said, that must be wonderful. It's not about you were glad to see the rain. That's why the Lord gives us these wonderful seasons. But if we, and the Lord says, if we are worshiping idols, not doing what is right, he will not send the rain in its due season. Well, they hadn't got the rain. And because of that, the cattle were dying, and she's a farmer's wife. And the bills had to be paid. And, I mean, it just was a terrible drought. And so she blamed God on it all. So I said to her, well, I knew she wasn't going to listen to me. That's one thing. You don't always listen to you. You are a missionary. So I said, let's pray. Well, before she would say yes or no, I just burst out praying. And I said, Lord, I've told the lady you really care for her. She doesn't understand. Will you show her that you care for her? So I went back to the farm I was staying on. When I got there, the farmer said to me, oh, you've been out visiting. There's one farm don't visit. I said, you know, I have a funny feeling I've been to that farm. And then I told him, he said, oh, yes, that's Nell's farm. And she wouldn't have been very happy. Well, I said, well, I pray. He said, she'll let you pray. Oh, no, she didn't say whether I could or were good, but I just pray it. And so the next day, I was giving him a message ready in the room, and there's great pounding on my door. And the farmer of the house, he says, will you come quickly, see? So we went out onto the lawn and his house. And he said, look over there. Well, I'm tunnel vision, that's why I bobbed my head around. And so I'm looking and looking, and I said, well, somebody tell me what I'm supposed to be looking at. They said, Marie, it's raining on that farm. Now, it rained nowhere else in Rhodesia. The God that doest wonders, there's not a wonder, a miracle that God did in here that he's not doing today, somewhere on our planet. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The years will never take its toll upon God. It can take its toll on us, on Edith Holyfield, but it will never take its toll on God. He will always be who he is. Well, the telephone went, and on the other end was a woman crying. And this is what she was saying. God really cares. God really cares. Now, we got rain about 2 months later, but that farm needed it there. The upshot was she came and she put her trust in the God who really cares for people and who sent his son. She went on with God, great. She's in heaven tonight because she got cancer and she died quite a few years later. But the wonderful thing is that she's got an eternal home. She's not depending on rain anymore. So he's the God that doest wonders in provision. And lastly, because after this, he's the God that doest wonders in liberation. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach the gospel. There's a God for every situation, and this God is my God. The God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Ezekiel, the God of Daniel. That's the same God I serve. And I take him seriously. When he says, Marie, do that, oh, I might be scared to death, but because he says, all right, Lord, I'll go and be a fiend jump, but I'll go because I know that voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they know it. And so if I know God's voice, then I must take him seriously. Well, I was invited to go with my boss to a place to pray for a woman who was being possessed. Now, I don't run into the devil's charity and get a wee story out of it. I stay away from the devil as far as I can. I pray against him and all the rest, but I don't run unless the Lord sends me. And I knew how you're going into the devil's territory. So I prayed, Lord, do you want me to go? Because I believe the Lord gives everybody gifts. There are people who can pray, but there are situations that arise where the Lord puts you in them, and you better sort it out with God and me. So I thought to myself, well, like, Lord, I've never done anything like this before. This woman's demon-possessed. Now, the demons would get into this lady, make her take a knife at night, go down to kill her children. And it took about 4 or 5 men to haul her off. I mean, these demons were so powerful. Well, I wasn't too keen to go, but anyway, I asked the Lord, I said, well, I'll find out what God says about that. Now, the Lord gave me a wonderful word. I will take the prey from the mighty. The devil is mighty. Get that into your head. He is not almighty, but he's mighty. And the Lord says, Marie, I take. You just go and pray, I take. Well, that was good. So my boss called for me, and I went out, and he says to me, where's your suitcase? I said, what do I want a suitcase for? Well, he says, you know, it can take days. said, well, if you were doing it, probably would. But the Lord's going to do it. And he took a legion out of a man, 2,000 of them. And so he's quite capable of doing it. So we went. I didn't take the suitcase, he and his. But when we went there, there was a little lady. And she came, and the minute she saw us, a deep man's voice spoke out of her. It wasn't the lady that was speaking, it was the demon. And it said, I will not give up my prey. Or I could have done the Irish jig. I thought, well, indeed you will, because the prey was the captive. That's what it was. And the devil and the demon was saying, I'll not give up the captive. I'll not give it up. She's mine. And the Lord said, I take. I said, Lord, here we are. Now we're praying. We're in front. We're bringing this thing to you. Now it's up to you. We asked the little lady to leave. She couldn't. She tried. I wish you'd seen her trying to. She couldn't. But then, after a while, we started to sing, He is Lord. Well, I always say I have a voice which scare any devil. But we sang, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee to Him shall bow, devil and all. And it wasn't up to the lady. Well, the voice said, I'm going. I'm going. Well, I said, you could be a lying demon, so we don't believe you. And then the voice in the distance, I'm going. And the little lady fell on her knees and sang, He is Lord. And that whole family, a Hindu family, came and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the God that doest wonders. He's not tied into the Bible. He's not tied into the throne. He lives within you and me. Now, if you want to hear the rest of the stories, I'm afraid you'll have to buy a book. And the book's coming out, because there's so many said, really, you've got to put it all down. So after a good level, no, no, no. And one minister challenged me. He says, well, Marie, you always say no, no. Did you ever pray about it? I said, no. Well, he said, you better pray. So when I prayed, the Lord said, give me a portion of scripture that one of the prophets had to dictate it to Barak, and he wrote it in a letter. But I won't tell you what happened to that, because it was put in the fire. So it might happen the same thing. But I've written Noel Davison has written the book, and it'll be out on the 26th of November, Leaving Church, that's a signing night, and it's going to be called, because I feel it's the Lord gave me the title, Joy Without Measure. It can be grace without measure, it can be love without measure, but to me the greatest joy